Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. We're all business all the time here on The Upswing, talking with people that care and do. And I got to tell you, when you think of that, the people that truly care and do each and every day in our community, journalists and reporters are at the heart of that, telling stories, kind of getting to the bottom of things, making sure that we're all informed and updated on our communities. Truly, truly important. So I'm happy once again to have Mark Cass, the editor at the Milwaukee Business Journal, and joining him today, Sean Ryan from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Sean has reported at the Business Journal since 2010. He covers mainly commercial real estate, economic development, construction, and transportation. Reported on these topics for actually more than 20 years in the community, previously at the Daily Reporter. He's won 3 awards from the Wisconsin Newspaper Association and several from the Milwaukee Press Club. Sean, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're a last-minute kind of pitch hint here. We had Teddy Neichel originally scheduled. Teddy's at home with a sick kid. We went, well, Teddy, I hope you're doing okay. I hope the young one is on his or her way to a speedy recovery. So what else do we need to know about you, Sean? I know Mark is a UWM grad. You're a Badger, right?
I am a Badger.
How you feeling about the tournament?
I always support our local sports teams.
All right.
Not an answer, Sean. I do Q&As all the time. That's not an answer.
I am an optimist. I always feel good about the home teams until they lose, so hopefully that won't happen.
There you go.
All right. Very good. So Mark Cass, a friendly reminder, editor-in-chief at the Milwaukee Business Journal, a role he's had since 2003, previously newsroom's managing editor, and before that, a reporter, and obviously a wonderful news partner here at WTMJ. So the first thing, I saw this in Fast Company this week that the headline was pretty interesting. It said, Facebook and X have given up on news. LinkedIn wants to fill that void. You know, LinkedIn is a professional social media network. Can it be a place for news? And what are you seeing from the Business Journal standpoint in terms of posting and engagement on LinkedIn?
It has increased dramatically, Jeff. And it's very interesting because all these media things kind of run over time. They go up, they go down. You know, Twitter was huge for a while. It's still big, but it seems to be more kind of narrow for sports and other things. For Facebook, you know, more about your things going on in your own life, but still drives traffic for us a lot. I've seen just such an increase on LinkedIn and for news. I mean, in the past, it's always been, I'm taking this job, I'm moving here, I'm looking for a job. Now now there's a lot of news on there. There's a lot more. People are adding comments. They're actually sharing stories. So we've seen a great increase in our interaction on LinkedIn. And it's good for us because, I mean, a lot of our readers are there. I mean, it's where a majority of them are. I would say, you know, if I had to say something, I'd say maybe half are on X or Twitter. Everyone's on Facebook. Yeah, again, not for our kind of news, but really everyone's on LinkedIn. So it has a great future. It really
does. When you talk trusted and relevant platforms, there's a trust there because often you have relationships with the people you're connected with.
Exactly.
So you feel like, whoa, the commentary and the stories, they all work together. And it's a generally pretty HR-friendly, work-safe vibe.
And it's also on a higher level because Twitter can get kind of, let's be honest. It can get they can get ugly sometimes. And people say things they probably shouldn't say. But it just seems a higher class on LinkedIn, more about the issue and not about kind of attacks on each other.
Yeah, very much so. And I think as someone that likes to share news, not only from WTMJ and the Business Journal and others, like I want to get good engagement and I want to be proud of where I put that.
Right.
And I think LinkedIn is really becoming that place for business news. And it will be interesting to see how it continues to evolve. All right, up next, we're going to continue our conversation with Sean Ryan and Mark Cass from the Business Journal. We're going to talk Donald Driver. We're going to talk 40 Under 40 celebration, some Top Chef scoops maybe from Mark Cass, and a whole lot more.
So I'm not sure about that.
This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. We're talking local business headlines with Sean Ryan and Mark Cass from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Mark, Monday night was the big 40 under 40 celebration. Our very own Vince Vetrano co-emceed the event in the
evening. He's not under 40, though. I want to be clear with people. He was not an honoree. He was a host. Let's be careful there.
Yeah. And I heard he did a wonderful job with his former co-host, Susan Kim. What were some of the highlights of that event?
I think the energy, I think the activity, and I think just optimism. Here you had leadership, you know, kind of future leaders in the community. And what was kind of cool up on stage, and I actually made this comment a couple times to Vince, as you heard what some of them are doing, we actually had a guy from the medical college who's a brain surgeon, and he's, you know, helping to cure cancer. We had other people who've just accomplished so much at such a young age. And what that means, optimism for the community, you know. And we had the mayor there, and the mayor said it. In fact, you guys are the future leaders of our community. We need you to step up. We need you to be involved. So what I like about the event all the time is it's a showcase for young leaders. You know, often all the media is always accused of being always negative. You know, just saying this is bad, this is bad. Well, this is our program, and you know, we've been doing it for a long time, to optimism, to show you here are the future leaders, that there are so many people in this community who have been 40 under 40s who are now mayor. I mean, I can say that, who are now the county exec, who are now CEOs in our area, who have just, you know, who've shown what they can do. And I think what you have to look at is you have to look at who's coming next. And that's so important for our region.
Yeah, and creating those mentorships and relationships are so very important in events like 40 Under 40 that help drive that.
So I have to ask if you've asked him to see his bobblehead, Vince, because he and Susan, along with all of our winners, had a bobblehead of themselves actually handed to him.
I saw some of the photos posted. Yeah. I haven't seen it on his desk yet. So when Vince, I do, I'm going to ask if I could have a selfie with it.
You really need a selfie. Not with Vince, though. With the bobblehead.
With the bobblehead, yes,
right.
Yes.
Way better.
Yes, without a doubt. So on Saturday night, Mark, I noted you were downtown at the Donald Driver event. More than $1 million was raised for community initiatives and scholarships for Boys and Girls Clubs. And obviously Hall of Famer wide receiver Donald Driver's Foundation, the Driven to Achieve Awards. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Yeah, really nice. I've been lucky to be involved with that event since the beginning, and I've been on the board for, I believe, 3 or 4 years now. Just a great event in the community held over at the Northwestern Mutual. A lot of people come together to raise money. You know, he is such a great athlete, but he's even a greater individual off the field. And what he's done, he was through the NFL. He could have just went home, obviously made a lot of money, and he could have just lived a great life. But instead, he comes back to Milwaukee all the time and is very active here, and he's very engaged here, and he gives money here to groups. So what this is, it's really how I said. The other thing I think it's great is, you know, and I go to a lot of these events, a lot of charity events. I'm always amazed how generous the people in Milwaukee are. I mean, to think about that. On any weekend in Milwaukee, there's going to be four of these events or more, and they're all going to raise a lot of money, which shows how generous we are, how generous some of the businesses are, and how that's important to the community. I think we out-hit our area in a sense for that. I mean, think about that. I mean, on Saturday night, to actually raise $1 million for scholarships for these industries is very important.
Yeah, with 400 people in attendance, truly, truly impressive. And another, you know, just a hat tip to Donald Driver. I know he's continuing to get more and more involved in the community. Right. I know he was touring the Near West Side recently, looking at some strategic investments and some of the projects there. So it's just so important to have advocates for the community that, you know, have worked here for a long time, but are coming back.
Well, that's it. I mean, again, he could stay down in Houston or down in that area, kind of Dallas. He doesn't have to come back here to be involved, but he loves the area, and everybody loves him. It's just a great match. And, you know, I mean, to see that excitement when he's in the room and kind of what he can do is really impressive.
Yes. All right. So tonight is the debut of Top Chef, and I know you have some interesting insights there, Mark. There's a premiere tonight at Discovery World. You had a chance to interview all three judges last fall.
Right.
What are your insights, and what are you looking forward to there?
This is fun. And I don't think we all really quite understand how important this is, how kind of impactful it is. I've been lucky enough to see the episode that's going to show tonight already. And what it shows about the city, the views of the city from the art museum to the river to the skyline, and then to be inside a restaurant and to spend that entire show in a restaurant in Milwaukee, I think it's just great for the city. What it's going to show to somebody who's in Atlanta, who's in Orlando or who's in Austin, who's thinking about a trip, who loves food, is all going to say, wow, maybe I should try Milwaukee. Maybe I should go there and eat at some of these great restaurants. So I think I think it's good for our name right now, but I think long term to have this show to be on for, I guess, 12 weeks or kind of whatever it is,
yeah,
is great, because every week is going to be about Milwaukee. They're going to be up in Madison. They're going to be all over the region here. I mean, I was lucky enough to actually see a couple of the filmings, and it's just an amazing showcase for Milwaukee.
And there's so many business realities for restaurants, yeah, in the area today. So having a global showcase like Top Chef in Madison and Milwaukee can really have impact for these restaurants.
Well, we've already seen it. We've already written about a couple of restaurants where the judges were going to. They were going to Three Brothers for months. You can't even, I mean, you can call weeks in advance and you can't all of a sudden get access to it. There's going to be other restaurants after the show. Think about that. I mean, kind of after the show airs, there's going to be a few restaurants in Milwaukee that are going to be solid for a long time. We have a lot of great chefs in Milwaukee, and I don't think that's always known. And to see them in the spotlight, as you will tonight, there'll be a couple of them on the show are actually in Milwaukee and are guest judges tonight and are very well-known chefs. That's great for their restaurants. That's just a great advertisement.
All right. Business headlines coming at us fast. Here on the upswing, demolition is starting at the former Boston store site at Northridge, work at the airport, the Bucks and micro sponsors, and a whole lot more coming up. Welcome back to the upswing. Local business headlines with Mark Cass and Sean Ryan from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Demolition today starts at the former Boston store as part of the Northridge site. I believe the interior demo is kind of already started, but Sean Ryan, I know you have some insights into what's happening at Northridge, and this is the last Boston store standing, and down it comes.
Well, in the city of Milwaukee.
Yes.
This is one where the city has been inside clearing out the asbestos, getting up to this point where you're going to start to see the walls coming down. It's going to be visible from the exterior where they are going to be knocking down that Boston store. The city has owned the Boston store out there at Northridge Mall since 2017, but only in end of January or so took ownership of the rest of the mall. So think of the demolition of the Boston store as a preview for what might be starting this summer when they're taking down the rest of Northridge too.
Right. And basically the mayor said, you know, we're ready to think about what's next. What is coming next at Northridge?
We know the city did not support the concept of the current mall being turned into warehousing, so I wouldn't expect, you know, a low job density industrial use there. I've heard a lot of the term highest and best use, but that hasn't been defined, so expect outreach to the neighborhood. I would expect some housing. I would expect a range of commercial businesses, and I'm sure the city's going to want some jobs there.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think you're going to see some sort of kind of mixed use out there. You know, probably maybe some type of retail, small retail, obviously nothing big anymore, housing, office, jobs. He said that over and over again. I mean, the mayor said, I want jobs there. What's interesting to me is think about that, 20 years, over 20 years of nothing.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I can remember growing up how, I mean, that area was so active and so vibrant. I mean, I used to ride over there on my bike all the time. It was great. Now it's been 20 years of nothing.
Yeah,
just anything's good, but to see some activity out there, to see the walls come down, I'm sure all the neighbors are just going to be thrilled to finally see that.
Yeah, and hopefully that the days of the break-ins and the random fires are gone, and now we can imagine it almost as a new neighborhood is
correct,
coming to the Northridge site, and it's pretty inspiring to think of it that way.
And that's rare in the city, because where are you going to find land of that size in terms of acres to actually redevelop?
Yes. All right. Let's move on to the airport. Getting more flights in and out of MKE is a good thing for the region and the entire state, for sure. You know, I think you look at, you know, statewide, we lose money in economic impact because people are flying out of O'Hare. So adding an international wing could be a good thing. What's your update there, Sean Ryan?
That's right. This is about the international terminal. The city or the airport has been using one that's pretty much disconnected from the main concourse right now. So if you want to have an international flight, you have to have it taxied the airplane back to the main concourse. It's not efficient. Right now you see charter flights that'll take you to your spring break destinations right now. And they're hoping to build what would be about an $80 million international terminal concourse there at the airport. They're going to seek federal grants to do that. And if they succeed, they'll get the grants next year, and it'll be about a two-year project.
Okay.
Kind of well-needed. It's been kind of talked about it for a long time, Jeff, because it's one of the rare airports where you enter where there's actually a whole terminal that's empty right now, really not used. That's not great for the city. To have more international flights, I remember you and I talked about this for the All-Star game. You know, having the NBA All-Star game here, we need more international flights. We need more nonstop flights. Obviously, this will help that.
Yes. And so going after the federal grants that they're applying for later in the year will provide those funds to help build the new international terminal.
That's right. The county has already approved money for this. They were going to go ahead with it right around in early 2020. And then something happened that really hurt the travel.
What happened that year? I don't remember.
So it got shelved. But in the meantime, inflation has driven up the cost of the projects. They're going to seek federal grants to make up that difference.
Okay, very good. I wanted to hit on one other topic. The Angela Bakehouse in Cudahy. I saw actually first on social that they stopped production.
Yeah.
And, you know, just obviously the jobs there, the sale in 2013, it changed its name from Cybros, the Sprouted Bakehouse, to the company's current name, and then it was acquired, and now it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you see every once in a while, it's sad, but, things that happened from, I mean, we were just talking about it, from 20 to 22, in terms of COVID, its impact, the staffing, it just all, I mean, it's still out there, and there are companies that are still impacted by that. Sad to see. We've seen a couple companies over the years who have closed. This is another one, and it's just, I don't like it, and it's, you know, obviously for the jobs, hopefully, I mean, they'll find jobs, which is, you know, not hard right now, luckily, because the unemployment rate is so low, but not good to hear for the community at all.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, nothing constant but change. That's what we always say here on The Upswing, right? Coming up next after the break, we are going to talk about the Bucks micro-sponsorships and possible targets there, a new venue in the Deer District, and talk a little bit about what the predictions could be for the future at the Deer District. We're back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. Tickets are on sale right now to see Giannis join his brother Thanasis on stage for Thanasis Live, presented by Carbliss, this Friday night in Milwaukee. Go to taliveshow.com to get tickets before they sell out. Get ready for the experience that the Antetokounmpo brothers, like never before, spend time, intimate time, with Giannis and Thanasis on March 22nd at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Event Center. All ages are welcome and families are encouraged. TAShow.com to access limited tickets. That's TAShow.com to see Giannis and special guests at the Thanasis Live, presented by Carbliss, this Friday in Milwaukee. TAShowLive.com. So, talking Bucks. A good segue. The Bucks are seeking micro-sponsorships. And what are some of the possible targets? If you're looking at it, the news was they're looking for 40 new sponsors at a $25,000 level.
I mean, just it's something you've seen there. When you go to games, you see them always highlight some of these small firms on the scoreboard who are there in attendance. I think what they're trying to do, and something the Bucks do very well, is really reach out in the community to get more of the community involved, because then more of the community will attend games. So I think you'll see a lot of small businesses, women-owned businesses, whether it's in the African-American community, whether it's in the Hispanic community, really try to involve them, because the team wants their support, but they've also been very supportive of those areas of the city. So I think this is a smart move, because one, it's good for the team, but it's also really good for those companies.
Yeah, it expands the pool of people that want to get involved and that have the ability to get involved and want some additional ways to showcase their businesses.
Yeah, just again, with a huge name like the Bucks, with Giannis and everything that's going on there, and you know all the attention they get, you know, for a store on 23rd North or for a store down on 6th and National, this is just a great way to kind of use that to help their brand.
So a new entertainment venue in the former Punch Bowl social space just opened up, the New Fashioned.
Yes.
What are kind of, I know you had a chance to walk through, what are the unique opportunities and challenges there? Kind of taking over for a national.
Well, I think what I was impressed with is that it's very local. I now know the owner of it. It's not a big national player. You know, it involves some of the restaurateurs who involved are local people we all know who have a stake in it. So, I mean, I think that's important. You see that in housing all the time, right? You kind of, when the owner's in town as compared to an out-of-towner, you just get more attention. It gets more support. So I think that was important. I think what they offered was kind of really cool last night. They have a wall there, a beer and soda, and alcohol, all from either here in Milwaukee or from around the state. So I thought that was important, just to showcase local products. They have a store in there now, a retail store that sells local products. They have a restaurateur who all of us knows, who actually runs the Edison and who runs other restaurants in town that we all know, and they have his food, and they have hamburgers and these curds and all the things you think about, right? Wisconsin. So I think that's what's going to be kind of hopefully make them very successful long term. Because under the old format, it was a restaurant I could have gone to in hypothetically Indianapolis, or not really unique to Milwaukee. So I think that is, but great spot.
Yeah.
You and I were talking earlier. I'll never forget in 2021, in the midst of the NBA finals, it was shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, not even selling water, beer, nothing. 60,000 of us were outside the building and nobody was inside.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well,
and now with the, like you said, Mark, the local connections make it, or has the opportunity to make it, more of a non-game day destination,
right?
As
right.
Well. Yes, it's going to be packed for those game days and those events and those concerts. But now with that local connection, I think it will be much more of a destination.
And you have to have it. You can't just rely on the NBA day games. You have to have something to draw in on a Monday night or on a Thursday night in July.
Yeah.
You have to have a reason to go there.
All right. When we come back, Sean Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on retail, drive-throughs, apartments in the Deer District. And we're going to talk, we got to talk 794. We're going to talk scooters in Wauwatosa. All this more and much more coming up on The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Fast and Furious Business Headlines with Sean Ryan and Mark Cass from the Milwaukee Business Journal. We wrapped up a discussion on the new fashioned opening at the Deer District. But Sean, I wanted to see from your reporting what you're hearing in terms of, possibly new retail, new apartments, new entertainment venues coming to the Deer District next.
There is a lot on the horizon. Starting in May, potentially, FPC Live has got plans for their about 4,000 seats concert venue. That's going to be just south of Fiserv Forum. So that's something that's in the works, and we might see construction this year on that. But one thing that's been in the back of my mind, an interesting $80 million project that's going next to the Trade Hotel out there. It's going to have 210 apartments. It's by Jay Jeffers and Company, a Milwaukee developer. Mm-hmm. But on the ground floor, they've got about 27,000 square feet that they've been saying is going to be a unique activation for the area. And I'm curious about what that's going to be. It hasn't been announced, but hopefully we'll be hearing pretty soon what's going to go in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think next you'll see there, Jeff, it's kind of changed. They had first kind of talked about office. A large office over there. And unfortunately, the company who they're going for is in this building now, and that's Fiserv. So that was the hope. And I think you've heard them talk since 2021, 22 with COVID. It's now more aimed at housing, retail, hotel. You'll see another hotel go there soon, probably on the southwest area of the site. And then you'll see housing more on the northern side. The thing I'm looking forward to, as I'm sure you are, is now as it kind of moves north up the hill into the Brewer's Hill, which we'll hopefully see the start of the museum soon, and then maybe some more housing projects up that hill, and just kind of moving up that way north would be great for the area.
Yeah. Well, and as Jenna McGuire from Colliers mentioned on the show on Monday, that National Ace Hardware building, yes, still is in play, looking for the right tenant and the right
mix. Years
mix.
Ago, it was supposed to be a Harley dealership. That never happened, unfortunately, but could be a great site for housing.
Yeah. We'll look forward to continuing to watch that story and more. So I wanted to segue a little bit into 794. You had a great story last week. Studies continue for the aging I-794 highway bridges running through downtown to the northern edge of the Hone Bridge and 6th Street. And DOT says that a plan is going to be selected next year. Sean Ryan, is this a and/or discussion? Is it a this or that? Ultimately, at least the way I'm seeing it is that there's a lot of voices and there's a lot of opinions right now. Can it get to this greater good discussion? And what does that look like?
Well, right now you're not seeing a lot of folks saying, let's rebuild it just the way it is right now. Let's not change anything. That idea is not getting a lot of support. You have a lot of folks that are saying, let's make a big splash. Let's get rid of it entirely. Let's clear all that land for development. Let's really put a spotlight on Milwaukee. We've been talking about Top Chef. Let's put a spotlight on Milwaukee by doing that. But there's also several options, and several options that have gotten a lot of support as well, of let's redesign it. Let's make it smaller. And if you do that, you can shrink the footprint and clear up more land for development for public space downtown by keeping also that connection that'll get you from the Home Bridge to the Marquette Interchange. And we're seeing South Shore communities rally behind that. We're seeing some folks downtown saying, well, that seems like a reasonable option. You know, where it's going to end up, we're going to find out. We're going to have more public hearings in fall from the DOT.
Okay. Mark, anything additional you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, this one is, Jeff, you and I have been around here longer than Sean. We're a little bit older than Sean. And, you know, we remember what happened on the northern side of downtown and kind of what how that worked out well. But for this one, it's interesting. There are people who want this ripped down. They are just really, really ardent supporters of ripping it down. And then there's people on the other side who are saying, well, come on, let's hold up. And is there a middle ground? If you ask the people who support knocking it down, they say no. If you ask the people who don't support knocking it down, they say yes. So is there a way to end up in the middle here? I don't know if there is. I hope there is.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because otherwise this could get pretty aggressive in fall and in 25 in terms of opposition on either side.
What one good voice in it, and I got to get to break, but Milwaukee Public Markets, Paul Schwartz, I think has been a really good kind of level-headed voice. Yep. He said, all of us have been in favor of ramp consolidation at minimum, turning Clybourne into two directions, opening up space for new land development. Schwartz said, these are all important parts of the project. So it'll be interesting to see and watch. Obviously, the Milwaukee Public Market could be impacted. So to have a voice saying, all right, I'm open to solutions, I think is a good thing. We'll come back. We'll hit on Lime Scooters in Wauwatosa and close out our discussion with Sean Ryan and Mark Cass from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, wrapping up our conversation with Sean Ryan and Mark Cass from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Dockless scooters could be rolling into Wauwatosa, my hometown, as early as April 1st under a proposal by Lime that city officials are considering. What are you hearing here, Sean?
Well, we're going to be seeing dockless scooters again in Wauwatosa and likely again here in Milwaukee. You're right. Lime has been putting out numbers. They're enthusiastic about keeping them on the streets here in the area. They said they tallied 500,000 rides in the city of Milwaukee last year just on Lime scooters alone. So both those cities are going to bring them back, and they're both going to get some revenue out of that by getting per fee fines revenue. I'm not sure what the term would be.
Okay. Well, and it's a nice kind of last mile solution, yeah. Right? Whether you're parking your car, you're taking public transit, and a scooter is there that might get you to your destination a little quicker.
What I think is interesting about this, Jeff, is think about 3 years ago or two or three when this first started. Everybody, there was either you were for or against it, remember?
Right.
It's pretty ugly to begin with. It's kind of lost that, and they're just kind of there now. And as long as they're not thrown on the sidewalk or as long as I'm not run over kind of by one, they just kind of exist, which I think is great. Alternate transportation in a city is good for the city. It means that you can park on the lakefront and maybe kind of ride one to downtown, as you said, or park here to go to Summerfest.
Yeah.
Again, good options.
Having the bubble of bikes, having scooters, it's just you need to get somewhere a little quicker. It's great. I would like to figure out a way to get the helmet solution. Like, you know, could I rent a helmet right?
Like,
for me, like, you're going kind of quick, and I'm like, I want a helmet on when I'm out of
here. Just in case, right? You're
always just in case. I'm a safety first, Mark.
I don't want to get a splat on the ground.
Yes.
I get it.
What about parking for scooters? Are you hearing, I mean, I know the city has done some things to make sure that, hey, park your scooter here so they don't get put on sidewalks or kind of thrown into a parking lot.
Yep, there are regulations on where they can be parked. You're right, the city of Milwaukee has created little corrals where they're supposed to go on the public streets. And if DPW, this is either in Wauwatosa or Milwaukee, has to go and take one of those scooters and move them, they're going to find the company that owns that scooter.
Okay. All right. Staying in Wauwatosa, Sean, you recently caught up with John Fasalo and his team. He had obviously dropped plans for his 28-story Drew apartment tower and office tower last year. But he seems to have continued interest in Wauwatosa, right?
Definitely. He's heavily invested in Wauwatosa. He's got the Moe's Irish restaurant out there, and he's buying more properties, even one that was affected by the new zoning change that the city approved, partially in response to Drew Tower, that set a new height cap on buildings. And Vassallo said, for this property I'm looking at, they also lifted the density cap, so there's no limit on the number of apartments we can build, just on the height of the building, and that's beneficial to us. So we're going to try to work within those regulations. He said he's still bullish on Wauwatosa, and he's still spending money there.
Okay. It's good to have entrepreneurial developers who go through a process, and, you know, maybe for whatever reason, it doesn't come to fruition, but kind of get back on the horse and keep driving things forward.
Yeah, he's been real interesting on Wauwatosa. He's just an interesting guy overall. Which is, I've been pretty impressed with his. He just keeps coming up with plans, Wauwatosa is, I think it's easy to say, is a hard place. It's a hard place at times because everyone has an opinion, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's also a community of growth, a community a lot of individuals want to live there. So housing is needed. So I think, you know, I mean, I give him credit. He'll get something there. I don't think it's ever going to be the 28-story high-rise, that's for sure. But, you know, maybe it's a 3- or 4-story project. And it's just a thing. So, I mean, I give him credit for that.
All right. In the last 30, 40 seconds here, give us your favorite downtown lunch spot. And if you can, let us know what you're working on for the rest of the week. Sean?
Go ahead, Sean. Am I allowed to tell him?
Sean, you can tell him something. Just kind of lead him down a path, but we're not going to give him anything.
Oh, we're going to be talking about I-94.
There you go.
Whether that should be expanded.
That's right. You know, for me, for lunch, I think that's a great question. And, you know, I love going to the Pfister. I love going to the cafe at the Pfister just because you're going to run into everybody you know. I mean, I used to love to go there when Herb Cole went because I'd always see Herb in his booth, and that was always fun. But you just run into people, have conversation. It's like the city. Really a smaller city. I mean, unfortunately, there's not as many options for lunch anymore in the heart of downtown as well as COVID. So I love going there.
All right, John, quickly.
I'm a pack of lunch guy, ham and Swiss.
Right. I see him every day sitting at the counter eating his lunch. That's
there. Cool. It is a power lunch with Sean Ryan and Mark Cass. Thank you so much for joining us.